Call the meeting of the Policy Committee to order at 4:30. Approval of the agenda?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Discussion policies.
Okay, the policies are listed there. These are, except for B, all policy recommendations, changes, adjustments, deletions that came as a result of recommendations from New York. So are there any questions about any of them specifically or anything that you noticed?
And you told me that policy B was just an update. You've already discussed that?
It has been discussed by the board, but there weren't any changes.
Okay, that's what we've already discussed it as a group, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought you said.
I don't know if we discussed it at the value that's in there right now.
Well, it depends. Do you want to go through A first or B? You could do either.
I was just asking about B because you said except for B, but I was just wondering that. I thought we had discussed as a board.
Yes, but no decision.
Okay, all right.
They said to bring it to here.
Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Okay.
So I have approval for 172.
Legal counsel.
My comment here is the authority to contract service counsel in the second paragraph for legal advice or assistance on behalf of the district shall normally be that of the board president and district administrator unless otherwise specified by the board. Does that mean that we have to have something, some type of directive or something in place to make that provision? Or that we are, as a board, are okay with the authority being vested in the board president and the district administrator, or?
That's what that's establishing. By changing this policy,
yeah,
and the board voting on it and approving it,
okay,
that's what that's establishing, is okay, that.
So the unless otherwise specified by the board is not a discussion point?
I guess it would be a discussion point for a specific issue.
Okay.
Right, so if something came up and a board member wanted to discuss it, you could have it as an agenda item, the board could discuss it, and then if the board wanted to say, Kayla, we're assigning you to talk to the attorney on this particular issue, then that's what that allows. So then you would vote on that, you'd assign her that authority,
so
and she would.
If something came up that you had a question on, you were saying we'd have to wait till the next board meeting to have it discussed, that we could call the attorney.
No, that you wouldn't individually as a board member call the attorney.
See, that's,
you'd check with the district administrator and president and ask them to contact the attorney with your question.
Were you talking about if one of us wanted to talk to the attorney?
Well, it's more whether we wanted to talk to the attorney or whether as a board, the way I'm reading this paragraph, we wanted to specify that individual board members can talk to the attorney without prior consent.
See, he's talking about an individual.
That would be a local adjustment to this policy, which for legal purposes would, from Neola's perspective, nullify their standing behind this policy. If the board were to add like a subsection here saying that individual board members could do that, Neola would say that we didn't recommend that. We didn't give you a choice on that. So therefore,
why would they even have this language unless otherwise specified by the board in here?
Because if you didn't have that in there, if the example that I gave came up, right? Like, if you didn't have that there, the only people that could talk to the attorney would be the board president and the district administrator. By putting that in there, if the board decides as a group to vote, say, on a specific issue to allow someone else to talk to the attorney for whatever purposes, the board could do that. So really what this is a way, and I'm just going to give you an example of sort of my take on why that's there. There likely are boards who have individual members who constantly are calling the board's attorney and racking up huge bills for the district because they're calling as a board member, and that's probably what brought this about for Neola to recommend that you would put something in there saying Only the board president, only the district administrator, unless you as a board decide, you know what, we're going to say to this person on this issue, yep, you contact the attorney. Because you're an expert on this, or it pertains very closely to your position.
But then, like Chris was saying, if you needed that knowledge ahead of, say, a meeting,
yep.
What would your avenue be then?
You would call the district administrator, ask them to contact the attorney, or call the board president.
What if you didn't want to call the district administrator or the board president and have that need that you thought was relevant to both of them, per se?
I don't know that that's foreseen here, but...
I don't think it's foreseen.
But just what if, yeah.
If that happened, the best route that I would say to avoid any of this would be to say, I want to call a special meeting and I want to talk about policy 0172, and this is the issue, and I believe since the board president and district administrator are both involved in this, we should have the ability as a board, and 4 out of the 7 could vote to say, we're going to be able to contact the district's council on this issue outside of the president and the district administrator. That's really the only way you can avoid each individual board member just having full-on access to the board's attorney.
So this, in your mind, I guess, doesn't mean that we should, as a board, specifically discuss this policy
If you're saying, should you try and come up with every eventuality and put it on choice?
I'm saying they have a more... Again, the way I read this, I could be reading it maybe short-sighted here, but the way I read this is, what we're saying if we adopt this policy is that the district administrator and the board president are the two people that have the authority to contact legal counsel. And unless otherwise specified by the board, really doesn't come into play because we're saying that that's what we're doing. To me.
No, I don't read it that way at all. No. I read it as you have it as an agenda item on a board meeting, and you bring it up, and you say, we would like the authority to contact the attorney and the ability to do that. And the policy says right here, otherwise specified by the board, we're voting on that right now, and we're specifying that for this thing, for this issue, we can contact the attorney. I mean, unless the board, if you as a board want to decide or you want to recommend to the rest of the board that any board member can contact the attorney for any reason.
No, and that's not what I'm saying.
That's up to you.
I'm saying the way I read this, Pat, it kind of says, as a board, we should be determining what our course of action is, and our course of action may be that we want the district administrator or the board president to be in charge of it. And I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
That's not the way I read this.
That, to me, that's exactly what that does. Because
I would agree with the way I read it too is how Pat's explaining it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to like bring my mind around to the way that you're reading it there. And I guess there just isn't verbiage there that would bring me
to that
read.
So that was my issue on that.
Okay.
My next one is the next section. It's 11:30, conflict of interest. And there's a bunch of these conflicts of interest ones.
There are. They put them by working
staff.
Group,
yeah.
Employee
so,
group.
So in this, there's item A, and in that paragraph under item A, the last sentence is, it includes not only those interests that violate state criminal law, which typically requires at least a $15,000 in financial interest, but also lesser value conflicts that nonetheless create the appearance of using one's public position to secure a private benefit. So this goes back to what one of these Neola or some attorneys told me that if we're having any board member doing work for the district, even though that $15,000 state limit exists, there's language in here that says we should careful if we're awarding any work to any actuality. So is this something that as a board we need to pay more attention to, or
I guess I'm wondering what your specific conflict of interest issue would be. If, for example, you say you've got a board member who has a specific business, right? They could do $15,000 worth of business for the district in that business, right?
Well, that's per, that would not violate state criminal law.
Right.
But financial interest, also lesser valued conflicts that nonetheless create the appearance of using one's public position to secure a private benefit is what they're saying in the language, that there is no lower dollar value limit, or there is no dollar value limit on this per se. You wouldn't have a state violation, but they're saying that as a district we shouldn't be doing anything.
Well, I don't think they're saying as a district you shouldn't be doing anything. I think they're saying as a district you need to be cautious of the appearance of a conflict of interest.
Okay.
And I guess the way I would read that, I'm not a lawyer, but from a legal perspective, is once you start getting beyond $15,000, that's a statutory conflict of interest, right, for any board member if they do more work than that. Anything less than that, that's sort of a local thing and to determine whether or not it would be viewed as a conflict of interest.
Being able to do work in our local community, but I also, again, if what I've seen, I guess, is maybe people that have an interest in a business bidding on work that's over this $15,000 mark, and if that's what happened to be awarded, that would be this policy.
If it was over $15,000, that person would have to resign from the board. They'd have to leave. That's what the $15,000 mark does. Well, so you couldn't have a person bid on a project for the district beyond $15,000.
Now, is that one project, or is that like in a time frame?
That's a year. That's a year. So it couldn't be a bunch of little projects. Once it gets beyond $15,000, then you've hit that statutory bar.
Yes.
That's it. So anything over that, and you then basically have violated that statute, and if you were to be called on it, if someone were to make an issue of it, then
in the same token, if somebody would come in and just say, you know what, you got this $2,000 award, and you're a member of the board, I think that's unfair. This seems to read that they would be able to push that case because it would have an appearance. So, unless somebody could prove, well, you're the low bidder, or...
Well, it's not really about that. Appearance is one thing. Violating a statute for that person, if they had an issue with it, they certainly could voice that, but there would be no recourse. There would be no remedy for that person legally as long as it's below $15,000 in a year.
Okay.
So, I mean, they can... I guess it just leaves the door open. And in my mind, it could be really, really difficult in small communities to find board members if you didn't have that below.
But that's what I kind of gleaned out of this. And again,
they're saying be cautious. This could be an issue, really is what they're saying.
Okay, so my next one is the next 1260 incapacity of the district administrator.
Yay.
And I guess what I'm reading is in the second paragraph, the third line, it says, or until the district administrator's employment ends and a new district administrator assumes. And I'm not sure what he assumes, but...
The position.
What's that?
The position.
Is that what that means?
Yes.
Do we need to add that?
Yes. I mean, that certainly could be added. I'm guessing that's just an oversight on their part because they changed the language from or until the expiration of the district administrator's contract, whichever comes sooner. They probably just, it should be employment ends and the new district administrator assumes the role or the position. So I can have that added.
Okay, my next one is the next one, which is English language proficiency. And on page 2, about a quarter of the way down the page, the second paragraph, and take the procedure. sure if that should be EL or if that should be ELP or if ELL stands for an acronym that I didn't mean out of it.
Okay, where are we?
Down, exit procedures, down 347.
Yep, okay. Yep. Okay, ELL stands for English Language Learner.
Okay, so what up there it says EL program. What?
English Language Program. I mean, it's just...
It's just they left one of the L's off.
Yeah, well, I mean, if
so
you're the...
ELP stands for English Language...
Proficiency.
Yeah.
EL stands for...
like an English language...
English language.
Yes.
ELL...
is an individual student who is an English language learner.
Okay. Just reading the...
We're all confused by it as well. So
I didn't pick up that particular acronym or that.
Those are the acronyms that they assigned to this, unfortunately.
So that's not a mistake that...
I do not believe so, no. It's like three separate things.
I thought they dropped up.
On the first page, they talk about ELs and they talk about ELs, but they don't talk about ELs.
Right. Which are you looking at here? I've got the policy.
He's just asking. It's not in here,
policy?
Right?
Well, and it's just the way the whole thing reads. They're talking about.
Right. If you want to look at the second paragraph.
Substitutes must possess appropriate certification to teach as a substitute, or the district administrator may determine that what license is required to make. Allowances for your alternative forms of certification, emergency certification, as permitted by law.
Right.
So that statement, per se,
right.
says to me that whoever gets assigned to this classroom has to have something, whether that's a determination by you that they're capable of filling that position, or because of the Excellus program, I guess, and this is my note, and the fact that we have this COVID quarantine and our teachers are working from home, is it just as feasible to say that we're going to put a classroom, I don't know if Nick has a teaching license, but could we just take Nick and assign him to a classroom as a monitor comparative to having to hire a substitute teacher that has a license or you assigning a license or something to Nick?
Yes. The short answer to that is yes, we kind of have a flexibility this year with some emergency rules that the DPI has put in place that if you have a situation like that and the teacher is actually like online
right.
piping in what the students are to do and you have a person there monitoring, that's allowed. There's huge...
And then you just have a person there to
yes.
make sure that...
They're just monitoring a classroom like a lunchroom supervisor.
Not teaching per se, but...
Correct.
Almost like Triton when we used to have the Triton
yep.
room.
Exactly the same. There's also a very large amount of license flexibility, like in terms of I can have a teacher that's got a math license and I can, for a short period of time, put them in a band room if I have to teach band via a cellist, whatever it is.
Sure.
That, under the emergency rule, there's a ton of flexibility with that. So we're good there.
Okay, so other than this policy says what it does, it gives you the opportunity to
yes.
make some flexibility.
And we have, yes.
Yeah. My next one is 4130, assignment and transfer. The district administrator. And I guess my note is that should the end read two? Or is that...
No,
I
don't think so. I think with the comma there, responsibility for the administrator, assignment and transfer of support staff members shall be vested in the district administrator, subject to and consistent with any applicable terms of the employee handbook.
So if that reads correctly?
Perfectly, yep.
Okay, and then the next one is actually the thing in area B, so...
Yep, okay.
If we still want to discuss A, then come out of A.
Any other As?
I didn't, did you?
Okay, so then we're on 6320. And this is here and will be brought to the full board. As Chris mentioned, this was discussed at one point, brought up, I believe, by Mr. Freibald, to try and find a way to save some money, you know, take out the middleman for purchasing computers, technology that would be part of an approved tech plan for the district, right? So 6320 does have a section in it that could be adjusted by the board to allow for that. And where that is right here. On the second page, under D, at the top, the first D, where it says, number 7, purchases of computers up to $20,000 in accordance with the board-approved technology plan. So what we would be advocating for, I guess what Nick would be advocating for, and fill in anything that I leave out here, is to change that to purchases of computers and related technology up to $100,000 if in accordance with board-approved technology plan. If we were to do that, it would cover the desire to cut out the middleman and be able to order things and probably save the district some money. So that's the recommendation, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Now, do you do the technology plan every year?
That I'm not sure I'm comfortable.
That's why we're bringing it here.
Yeah.
But in order to do what Mike was referring to, which was the Chromebooks, I mean, we have $90,000 orders for Chromebooks in a year.
And what messed us up this year was we didn't get it in, and everybody else was going for them.
Yeah.
The way I read the rest of our bidding structure is that it's allowable to go to the vendor direct along with going out to other people to get their bids. Are we perceiving that because they would be selling to these other vendors that would be the reason they wouldn't give us a direct quotation?
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that was Mike's concern, is there's an upcharge by going to these other vendors who then go to a provider,
but
have an upcharge, and then they provide it to us.
Policy, we should be able to go to that provider and get a price.
If that price is over $25,000, it's got to be bid. If we envision that the price for anything is going to be in excess of $25,000, it has to go out on bids. That's the current purchasing policy.
Mm-hmm.
Except for number 7, which would allow, you know, if you make a change to that, then that allows for, I think, what was being asked. And again, this, we didn't come and ask for this, right? Nick didn't come and ask for this. We were okay with the process.
That's really not even the part of the point. I'm just saying that $100,000 is a lot. And I'm not saying that board approval is needed, but I'm uncomfortable with the language where we didn't have a structure in place for $100,000 where, and again, whether it's Nick or whoever would be our IT professional in the future, would have at least a safeguard of sorts watching over this so that Nick's brother who owns Hewlett Packard isn't the one always getting the thing, that there's actually a process where somebody is reviewing what's going on so that we know that we have a structure that's being fair and equitable to...
Right. Ultimately, I would approve the purchase order and so forth, so I'd see the whole thing. the board would ultimately, you approve every expenditure. So that there is those safeguards there.
To say that we approve every expenditure, and I sit and watch our meetings on budget, I don't know how many people read through all of this stuff, but I would guess it's not everybody. And so just to say that we en masse agree that you didn't, you know, that we trust you.
It's available to you.
It's available.
Yeah.
Isn't saying that we approve every expense. We do, but I mean, it's not like we walk through every expenditure and say, okay, Nick spent $27 on this, plug-in thing. Are we gonna? Did he get that for his brother? Or, we don't do that to that level because there's a trust system in place and there's some safeguards to values.
I guess right. It goes beyond trust.
In my mind. I'm not against this because I think saving money is good. I'm just saying if this should be separated out completely as a different paragraph and saying, for technology purposes, the district administrator, the board president, or the leader of the board committee on IT and the IT director. In conjunction with each other, can look at, assuming up to $100,000 worth of debt, bringing it to the board for approval. Something that would allow Nick to do his job that still had a couple of safeguards and give him the latitude to kind of do that. Does that make any sense at all?
How I was kind of envisioning it, doing the same bidding process we have now. It's just how I get the quotes. Right now we can't accept email quotes. Well, if the board committee were willing to change and they would allow me to accept email quotes, I would be able to go out and seek those quotes. I'd ask vendors like Dell, directly all the vendors I've typically worked with over the years, collect all the quotes so I have all the information so I'm comparing apples to apples. I have what we're asking for. I would take as many quotes as I can get my hands on, tabulate them just like I do now for you for bids, give you that tabulation, say, okay, based on the quotes I received that were sent to me, here's what we got, and I'd make the recommendation like I always have. So then I'm proposing that same information to you as I always have for the bidding process. It's just how I can get them to you, so then the Building Grounds Information Technology Committee is approving them, the board will be approving the purchase, so you can see who it's through, what the costs are at, and the whole process like it's always been. We post it just like we would, but at least I'd be able to get my hands on, I could seek out those quotes, get them immediately, get them correct.
But now, would that become public information where you might not get a bid from Dell because, Pat's computers would be getting a bid from Dell to give to us too? I mean, would that end up resulting in you not being able to get some of the things that you would be looking for as far as going direct to a vendor? I mean, if they knew you were not only getting a thing direct from Dell, but you were getting Pat's computers and Gary's computers and Chris's computers, and we all went to Dell and got a number and then put 10% on it because that's what we do for our business. And Pat puts 8% and Chris puts 6%. Well, Chris is low, but Dell is lower because they're selling direct to you and we don't even have an opportunity then.
And I think that's where Mike, when he started the conversation, means you're then cutting out the middleman.
Right.
Right?
So you wouldn't even go to Chris and Pat and Gary. You would just go to Dell and HP.
That was really what I understood, right, was to go straight to the people that make the computers, make the Chromebooks, and ask them for a quote. How much will you sell us
so
600 of these computers
for? Why can't you do that right now?
Because if it's over $25,000,
we have to do bids.
Sealed bid.
Ah, okay.
That's really the issue. So it would definitely come back to the board for ultimate approval. Even at quotes, the board is going to be approving a quote. It's just a way by changing this number to have the board approve that quote instead of approve a bid. And in the end, it really is part of an overall technology plan that the board has approved. Like, we're going to order so many of these a year, and we're going to have a rotation.
If we have this language in here, and it said purchases of computers and equipment, whatever you're...
Related technology.
Up to $100,000 in accordance with the board-approved technology plan, could the board-approved technology plan include the recommendation that our IT specialist and district administrator put together a spreadsheet of bids based on their efforts in coming up with?
I would just say that any quotes for such a purchase would be brought to the board for approval.
Because you wouldn't get bids then.
Yeah, it's just avoiding the bidding process.
Right.
The board has to allow.
You would be
put something in there that ultimately the board is going to approve. Is going to view, have access, and approve the quotes. We would include something like that.
And so, what would your recommendation be, Matt?
To do exactly that. To say something to the effect of, for purchases of computers and related technology in accordance with a board-approved technology plan to be brought to the board for approval of quotes.
Okay. So can I make a motion to bring to the full board our recommendation to make this adjustment in board policy 6310?
Sure.
Only in regards to the computer.
Just
only
that item. Just that.
That's
why you put it specifically in 7. Because it'll only impact that then. And then the other issue is, in your bylaws, normally it takes 2 board meetings to approve a policy. You have to propose it at 1, approve it in a first reading, have it at a second one, approve it in the second reading. But there is a provision within your bylaws that allows for doing it in 1
okay.
meeting. And it's only in effect till the very next public meeting, unless at that very next public meeting you approve the same thing. So really what it does is it would allow Nick right now, which is time is critical with this, getting this out there so that we can get the stuff, for him to go out and try and get those quotes right now. It would allow him to do that and bring it back, and we could get it approved at the next board meeting. At the same time, you would then approve this second reading of this, and then it would go into effect permanently. So you'd have the ability to do that.
So if somebody would second my original motion,
I'll second.
I'll amend it to include the language of bringing it to the full board of having it approved in a single reading.
Yeah.
A single reading.
Are you going to write this down? Because you always tell them the changes.
Yes, I will write down the change, and I will write down your motion.
Okay.
Then we'll report it out at the full board meeting.
Yeah.
So if I could have a second on my
she did.
Agenda,
oh, second.
I will second that.
Okay.
You don't need to vote on it.
I vote aye.
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 And that's it?
That's it.
Need a motion to adjourn?
Can I have a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned at 5:02.